Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 312. It's late at night, and so I've been talking all day, and so I really have that very special timbre in my voice. Welcome. Oh, this is when I can really do the... Stop doing the Chloe's. God damn it. I'm trying to record a fucking intro over here. And you're snorting.
I didn't stop.
Chloe is glued to her favorite new subreddit, Cute Girls Ugly Faces.
Pretty Girls Ugly Faces.
I'm sorry. Pretty Girls Ugly Faces, which is basically pretty girls in one picture, just a picture of them normal, and then the next picture is them making the worst face they can possibly make. So I recorded the intro and I just turned to my right casually and I see the most horrifying, like, teeth out, like, face.
I have a really good one. Hang
no, I don't. This is audio only. No. Stop. People are just going to be annoyed that we're laughing at seemingly nothing to them.
Then they suck because we are enjoying ourselves.
Well said. By the way, this episode is all devoted to YouTube content creation, and as such, I should tell you that over at the Nerdist YouTube channel, youtube.com/Nerdist, All-Star Celebrity Bowling is back. So today, the episode versus Workaholics went up. Workaholics is coming back on Comedy Central. Check your local listings. And then we bowled against them, and they're fucking awesome. And you'll see. It was a slightly different version of the bowling show, but very glad to be back. New episodes on the way. Rooster Teeth coming up soon, I believe. So there you go. YouTube.com/Nerdist. Click subscribe because that helps us out a lot. We'll give you more fun programming. I would like to thank LegalZoom for being a sponsor of this episode of the Nerdist Podcast. Say, are you waiting to start your dream business? Would you stop making faces over there? I'm going to use LegalZoom so I can sue you for those faces. I'm gonna build a shell company that buys up all your faces and then
objection
and then buries it. Oh, Your Honor, I'm sorry. And then buries your faces in the desert like the ET game cartridges.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Oh my God, that happened before you were born. Anyway, LegalZoom, incorporate your business, form an LLC, starting at $99. If you have a family, you're probably going to want to make sure they're protected. So LegalZoom can help you set up a will for $69. You can get the documentation for that. Also, the past...
That's an inappropriate number for a will.
What?
$69 for a will.
Well, I'd like to thank LegalZoom, who will never sponsor another episode of this podcast.
No, they're great.
Can I pay $69 to get a 69 document? Well, I see all the documentation is in order here.
Let's go.
Let this see. Oh, did you have to take it the extra level of the gobble noise?
Of course you do. That's a stupid question.
In the past 12 years, over 2 million Americans have used LegalZoom for LLCs, wills, trusts, trademarks. Start your business, protect your family at LegalZoom.com. Get a special discount for listening to this podcast. Make sure you enter Nerdist in the referral box to check out for more savings. LegalZoom is not a law firm. You can get self-help services at your specific direction, or you can speak with a LegalZoom plan attorney to get your questions answered and get ongoing advice. LegalZoom.com. Now, this episode of the Nerdist Podcast, which has already started out really silly. I think that's appropriate because three people that I've become good friends with, and I fucking adore these people. Not only because they all individually just created a thing and just kind of made their own way, and they all have hugely popular YouTube channels, and they're branching out and expanding and doing all sorts of stuff, but they're all genuinely sweet, funny people. Grace Helbig, who I initially met when she started doing stuff on Attack of the Show, may it rest in peace. Harley Morenstein from Epic Mealtime, and then Hannah Hart from My Drunk Kitchen. All these people, incredibly smart, incredibly insightful, and this is a fun... it was a good fuck-around podcast, but it was also just... But when we actually started getting down to brass tacks, as no one says anymore, nice games, that what there's a tremendous amount of insight into content creation and kind of following the thing that you're passionate about, but really, you know, effective use of your time and consistency and how to reach, you know, an audience and make your hobby and, or your passion your career. So really, really fun episode. And I want to kind of do more like these because it can be informative or it's also just fun. So it is the Nerdist Podcast, episode number 312, YouTube Special Edition with Hannah, Holly, and Grace. I'm losing my voice. Maybe I'm just blowing out completely now. Not gonna have a voice tomorrow morning when I got to get up at 6:10 a.m. to do a radio tour to promote Mandroid, the comedy DVD. And now my voice is... What the fuck is happening in this room right now?
I'm trying to see how far you can see up my nostrils.
It turns out far with the flash from the eyesight camera. So basically now... I am making stupid voices and Chloe's making stupid faces. We're fucking idiots.
It's not even after midnight.
Because we're going to chug a lug and shout?
What?
After midnight. Okay, a long time ago there was a singer named Eric Clapton. And Eric Clapton recorded this.
He was,
I'm going to stop recording this intro right now and start explaining to Chloe things that happened before the year 1988.
Like Archie and Arnold or whatever those shows were. I don't even know what I'm trying to reference.
It sounded like you just did some Different Strokes Archie Comics
Archie,
crossover.
No, Archie and the...
Okay, like, we're done.
Okay. Was it Archie? What's her name? Archie, what is that show?
All in the Family. Shut up. You were fucking minus 12 when that show was on.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Okay, everyone's got to get up on their mics.
Get up on your
mic. Hi, talking to it?
Yeah, that's good.
Hi, how are you?
I don't understand how mine works.
Your face goes up to
the... You got the smallest one.
Hello?
Oh!
Hello.
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 Anna.
Hi.
Anna Ott.
Anna Ott.
Telling her dirty spinach story.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Someone burned a Taylor Swift CD over here.
What? Oops, was it you?
Did I choose the right CD or what, guys?
That's a great name for an album. Oops, was it you? That
Oops,
sounds like a Taylor
you?
Swift, Taylor Swift album.
Or an album entirely.
That's after she gets pregnant.
And farted.
Was you?
It's one of these days that'll happen. She'll get pregnant.
One of you is the dad.
I don't even know if she has a vagina. I feel like
that's
why.
I think she does.
21.
I think that's why she's not staying with any of these guys.
No, she's been putting it on some very famous dudes.
I think she puts the face on it, and then they realize that she doesn't have a vagina, and then they're like, I'm out.
How does this work?
Yeah, it was just a Sharpie before.
Whoa, you just bought a house next door to me? We have to figure out this vagina thing first. Why don't you buy a vagina?
You have a smooth Barbie-like front. What is going on?
How many internet videos until I'm in the running? I
want to
be in that.
It'll happen.
You said she's 21, right?
She's 21?
23, I think.
Yeah, she's too old to be doing this
song
and dance.
23.
Game,
I mean, come on.
How old are you, Hannah?
26.
Welcome to Swiftly Speaking, the show where we try to help Taylor Swift. None of us know her, but we feel like she's a girl in trouble, and we just want to give her a hand.
Trouble.
Is that her?
Yeah.
Oh, I love her.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
That's the problem with Taylor Swift, is that no matter what,
catchy,
does a song. Yeah, that's how you're like, this song's great. It's just great.
I don't know any Taylor Swift song. I just know the one that's like... I wear these clothes, that girl wears those clothes.
I don't know.
I'm like this one, she's the annoying one. Yeah. Like, that's the only one that I
know.
Just that one.
That's me. I'm like that too. Whatever's on the radio, you're like, oh, girl from the radio.
Right. I crank up my hi-fi radio or boombox. This is a fun podcast to get you guys together. It's Grace Helbig, Harley Morenstein, and Hannah Hart. I thought it'd be fun just to do like a YouTube-centric podcast. We don't have to talk about YouTube the whole time
I
love you guys all so much, and I know you guys are all friends, so it just seemed like, we should just all get together and fuck around.
Yeah, I like it. And only one third of us is sick.
Poor Harley. Yeah. Now, when you get food poisoning, do you feel like the food is fighting back?
before I even had this steak, it came with like a big bone and it was just was put down in front of me aggressively. I automatically felt like I had to take it down.
Yeah.
Like it was a challenge already. And I don't know. Yep. It was really, you had a bone really to bloody. Pick.
To be fair, this undercooked steak that you ate was not made by your own hand.
No, absolutely not.
Because I've done an epic mealtime before, and the food is very carefully prepared, and yeah. It's really good.
Yeah. Oh, no. Well, we can't be having Chris Hardwick get sick on epic
mealtime. No, please don't.
You know? Do you think that the restaurant and the server did this to you purposefully?
No.
They know that you abuse food normally, and so they wanted to give you a taste of your own medicine?
Yep.
No.
Out the butt!
Epic shit time. Have fun.
I think they were trying to make it extra epic special. Shit time.
They were.
Yeah. Like, look how good our beef is. You don't even need to really cook it.
Right.
There you go. Suck that
and
down.
You're like, did you call good, the restaurant and put the phone right next to the toilet? It goes,
incredible idea.
Just leave them like a bunch of voicemails.
What I should do is call my mom, be like, Mom, you know what happened? Explain her the story. And she's like, I'm going to write them a letter right now, Harley. I'm going to make sure you get free meals for the next 4 months.
Yeah.
She would do it. She locks that stuff down all the time.
We just got a letter with a Canadian postage on it. What is this?
Yeah. It's written purely in Greece.
But you're feeling okay though? You feel all right?
No, I don't feel good at all. Oh, but I'm really happy to be here, so it's balancing out.
We can put a bucket under your chair.
There is a bucket under his chair.
Oh.
If I do have to, you know,
duck
release
out.
It,
yeah.
Just say a word. Pick a
it's
word.
On her.
It's on.
Literally on me?
Yeah,
don't put it on me.
It'll be good.
Somebody has to watch.
Now you know what tomorrow's Daily Grace will be about.
That's fine. That's fine. Grace I'll just get over it with the sweet, sweet sounds of Taylor Swift.
I feel like I infiltrated this podcast, by the way. I saw it all going on Twitter, and I was like, oh, me too.
You have absolutely. This worked out perfectly.
That was like 2 days after I met Grace for the first time through Hannah, mm-hmm. and got wasted.
What? Yeah.
Oh wait, when was that?
Mess. What? No,
whoa. Your
weren't.
Birthday.
Oh, HannahCon.
HannahCon. That was a fun time.
HannahCon was a while ago, I hope.
Yeah, I think it was like
10
weeks ago.
HannahCon my birthday was celebrated, but I was traveling.
You were traveling.
I was traveling. Oh, I was on a plane flying from New York back to LA on the day of my birthday. And I was like, it's cool, guys. I don't need to, no, don't worry about my birthday. But I was on the plane. And I was like.
Not one flight attendant recognized her, nor did they wish her happy birthday.
Yeah, like, I wanted like a cupcake. I just expected the airline to be like, happy birthday, Hannah.
That, you know.
Not for all birthdays.
It's funny like that. I was not going to have a birthday party last year either, and I kept telling Chloe, like, I don't want to do anything, it's a dumb, mm-hmm. it's a number, who gives a shit?
Yep.
And then as it, like, 3 days before, I was like, I think I want to have a birthday party.
I know.
Oh, no one took me seriously.
What? Where's my giant surprise?
Yeah, you were dressed as a unicorn on your birthday.
A carrot.
Here's how you know someone's full of shit. If there's a certain like reverse polarity thing that mm-hmm. happens where it like the more emphatic they are.
Right. You were dressed like a unicorn. Are you?
No, I mean about having a party.
Oh, yeah.
If you're like, I really don't want a party, don't you dare.
Yeah.
Dare contact all my friends whose information is easily accessible on my contacts.
I'm just going to leave my phone open. Right
but
here.
But don't invite a bunch of people to Pins in Studio City and have karaoke and a photo booth.
Even the next day being like, remember what I said about my birthday? I was serious. I was serious.
Every day leading up to it.
It was a great time. We almost got kicked out a bunch by the hotel we stayed at. And then the next morning, the hotel staff sent Hannah 2 hot toddies because they knew who she was.
2 things of Maker's Mark and a bunch of tea and honey. And was like, good luck with your hangover. Feel free to stay late. And we just sat there watching football. Drinking hot toddies.
I don't know if you remember when the security guard kept coming to shut down the party.
Yeah.
Grace, you were coming up to me and you were like, I'll just go have sex with her.
I know.
That's
pushing me on her.
I look at people and I realize what their strongest skill sets are. Mm-hmm. And I knew that Harley, probably very good at persuading females into letting us have a party.
So you're saying Harley should have fuck bribed her.
Yeah. Basically. Dear Grace, thanks so
much. Fuck bribe when you're a 6'6" unfuckable ogre.
But also,
I do know what you're talking about. I'm a 5'4" unfuckable ogre. No.
Yeah, it was great. The woman next to us instantly called security at 10 p.m.
I brought her earplugs. This is drunk Grace. Here's drunk Hannah. Here's drunk Grace. This is Hannah. Oh, I brought you some earplugs. I'm so sorry. Here's Grace. We're having a
birthday. Yeah.
It's her birthday. We spent money to get this room specifically. Yeah. We can have you move to another room.
Do you want to go to another room? She's dressed like a carrot this whole time.
You're what?
Hannah's dressed like a carrot.
I just have a carrot. No, not yet. This was pre-carrot.
I was still wearing my green leggings.
This was still human person wearing shiny green leggings.
Yeah, regular, normal stuff. But it was classic Jersey versus San Francisco. Grace is from Jersey. I'm from SF. I'm like, what can I do to make you feel better about the situation?
And she just didn't, she was just like, no. And I was like, well, we're going to be loud then for the rest of the
and
night.
Then Grace goes back, I never, ever, ever.
You should have found a nice, marriage of the two sensibilities. Like, how can we help you, bitch?
That's exactly what we were trying to do.
Yeah.
She was not having
it.
She's listening. Hey, friend, we are not friends.
You were from Australia. I believe you had a fashion shoot.
Yeah, you had a shit ton of shopping bags in your room. I offered to help you move your shopping bags.
Yep.
But to no avail.
Nope.
And how late did the party go?
I don't remember.
Who knows the clock?
Who knows the clock? Hannah Con o'clock.
It went to the half past hot toddy.
But half past hot toddy. Hannah Con is now a phrase that I don't ever want to use again. And also, I never want to hear the song Tonight I'm Fucking You by Enrique Iglesias again.
Yeah, that is the song that destroys us. We've had the worst nights starting off listening to that song to get amped.
That's
your amp song?
We're driving in my little white Prius. Two fucking white ass girls. And we're like, tonight I'm fucking you.
Like losing our minds after we had just purchased cake vodka from the store.
Oh yeah, I forgot that was there also.
So good, right?
Yeah,
that's what gets you, is it tastes like cake.
Yeah, but it's vodka.
There have been a lot of innovations in the field of alcohol consumption since I gave it up 10 years ago. I probably would have enjoyed cake vodka. I never liked hard alcohol.
You're the best. You're off better for it. You're amazing.
I don't know.
You can take wheatgrass shots every time. We're like, shots. And you're like, wheatgrass, shots.
Wheatgrass. Wheatgrass is a good good tester, like a litmus test for how toxic you are. Because if wheatgrass tastes really awful and bitter, you're super toxic.
Oh,
and,
really?
If it tastes kind of sweet, then I think that actually indicates that you're a little bit healthier. I'm sure that people online will tell me that I'm wrong because they enjoy
love to do that.
I think that's the case.
I envision me taking a wheatgrass shot would be like a baking soda vinegar science experiment.
Just like
Harley combusts, it disappears.
Oh my god,
Adrian Brody!
How fucking funny would that be if like some sixth grader took you for his science fair experiment and then dumped wheatgrass in your mouth and you just like volcano
barfed
puke
all over the children?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Great internet video.
This is what happens. Yeah. Because I found that I do this, that everything you see in life is like, oh, I should get that on video. That should be a video. That should be a thing.
That's an episode.
Yeah.
We're like driving in Texas. And I was like, oh my God, look at this gnarly tree. And my buddy was like, oh, that's an episode.
Yeah.
I was like, we were going to wrap it in bacon?
Yeah.
How's it an episode?
We're going to build a little swing out of bacon.
It's like
and
a crazy tree.
You're going to roast the tree and whatever animals are inside, you're just going to scoop them out and eat them.
My mom came up to me over Christmas because my parents are really into trying to give me ideas for videos. She goes, Grace, I have this great idea for a video. What would you want your name to be if it wasn't Grace?
Oh my God.
It's like an entire
and then
what happens? We just talk about names, but like we make them into like Christmas names. So it'd be like, you could be Holly or you could be,
I don't even know.
And I was like, what's Mom, this will name? Not sustain like 3 minutes of conversation. Oh, Grace, no, there are so many names.
Your name could be Mary. It could be Holly.
Exactly.
It could be
Joseph.
Tree. Oh, Harley's already doing a tree episode.
Oh, no.
Two great episodes.
Also, when we're driving up and down in Los Angeles and we pass weirdos, we're always, get a load of this episode over here.
Yeah, this is a little episode.
Like a guy there with his fist full of peanut butter and spreading it on one slice of bread, or maybe just his hand. I couldn't really see it. It's like, that's an episode.
Get a little of that wannabe meme. Peanut butter hand. Man.
You guys have all been on YouTube for about the same amount of time, no?
No, Grace is pro.
I've been making web videos professionally since 2008, but I've only been on YouTube since 2010.
So like, oh really?
Yeah.
What platform were you on before?
I was and still work for a website called MyDamnChannel.com.
Yeah.
And in 2008, they came to me because I was making little vlogs with my roommate at the time, Michelle Vargas, and they wanted a host for their website, and we experimented with this daily vlog that directed people around the website. It wasn't necessarily comedy based. It was more or less giving information and having a two-way conversation with their audience instead of just, here's all of our content, now comment on it. It was like, hey, did you watch this? What'd you think? What else do you want to see? Did you see this thing is new? And then after like 2 years, it evolved into me making comedy videos and not talking about the website. And then we realized that it's really hard to get people to watch videos not on YouTube.
Yeah.
Let's take this over to YouTube.
Every company, you know, like when you meet with companies, like, we want to make some videos. I'm like, are you going to put it on your own proprietary player on your site? Yeah.
Okay.
Don't do that.
Welcome to three views. Those three are these people in this room.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the other 100 are spam bots that you've hired from other websites.
Right, exactly. It's like when you're working with them, they go, well, we want to put this on our player. And you're like, well, you can, but I don't advise it.
Those spam bots are so funny. I get emails from them. It's like, increase your view counts. Smosh did it. And I'm
mine
like,
told me to increase other things.
Whoa. Increase your video's dick size.
Yeah. Oh, that dick size.
Viagra.edu. Yes. Learn about it.
Just the idea, though, of I think about making a video every day, and that sort of crushes me a little bit when I think about what that feels. I mean, I worked in radio in the 1990s. And, and that sort of, like, every day, it was like, wow, every day we have to get up and make a thing. But it really is, I guess you just get into the rhythm of it.
You do get into a rhythm, and then, but also now that it's grown into something, you feel so guilty not doing it, because you feel like you're letting down all these people that want to watch you. It'd be as if you were to watch your favorite show on Thursday night on NBC, and it just wasn't there 1 week because they didn't make it. Well, and then you're like, why?
That's
you
the
let
thing.
Me down.
There's a new currency, which is attention. People's attention is currency now because we don't pay for anything anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
And so
and that's why I always, when people give me shit online, I just remind them, hey, buddy, hey, little virtual friend, this is free for
you. I remind people that a lot, too, because I feel like, listen, you're getting this content for free whenever you want to watch it, however you want to watch it.
Yeah.
Maybe cut some slack if it's not down to the molecule of how you wanted it to be.
I think what in the positive way of looking at it, it's a testament to how much they enjoy your content.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I totally agree.
Like, they enjoy what you produce. But honestly, just to touch on Grace's Daily thing, I think, aside from the fact that we're pretty good friends, that if somebody asked me, like, oh, who in YouTube do you respect the most, or blah, 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 blah. Honestly, Grace, like, you are...
I'm right here.
Oh.
That's so weird.
Sorry,
I could have sworn you at HannahCon, you said me.
What?
In this exact setup.
You can't believe a word that comes out of my mouth if I'm in that onesie. You just need to ignore it. But no,
the carrot of lies.
Yeah, the carrot lies. But no, Grace, you have a great work ethic, and you make me want to be a better YouTuber.
Well, oh my
God. And that's what people need to understand. Thanks. Is that when I started this podcast, I realized if the deal that we make with our audience is, in the beginning it was one episode a week, and now it's three.
Yeah.
But it's like, well, it's got to be the same day every week, because you make that deal with people where they go, okay, we will surrender some of our attention to you. You have to hold up your end of the bargain by keeping your content consistent.
Yeah, it's very difficult at times, but the great thing about it is that the Daily Grace audience has developed into this really kind, sweet audience for the most part that really protects and defends
of
me.
Of course.
So even if I put up content, not everything's going to be a winner, and there are a lot of strikes that
Those
go
are
up
your
there.
Your favorite videos of mine, by the way.
Oh, really?
Strikes?
Well, one time I made a video on my damn channel before YouTube that was literally just 2 minutes of an applause track and me staring at the camera. So I think I've gotten a lot better at it.
But I think as a writing exercise, though, I think any young creator, someone who's trying to get on YouTube, should challenge themselves. It's sort of like Jonathan Colton's Song a Week thing. It's like, because you know, so many people edit themselves in the creative process before they actually make a thing. But when you have a deadline you have to fucking do it. You find things you never would have if it was super premeditated.
Right. It's amazing.
You don't have time for doubt.
Right. It's amazing how efficient you become at being like, well, this works, this doesn't work. Great. Edit it up. Oh, I have 2 hours here. Great. I film here. I'll go to this audition. I'll come back. I'll edit. Then I'll go out to dinner. Then I'll come back and I'll upload it. So you just figure it out.
Yeah.
Everything is figure outable. I heard from a
Where's
life coach
Xbox
at once. Xbox? I have an Xbox.
Add
I use
me.
It for some sweet dance videos.
Add me.
Add you an Xbox.
Be the new, like, go up to a girl at a bar. Yeah, you got an Xbox? Add me.
Xbox.
Whoa, that's an innuendo.
Whoa! Add me to your Xbox.
So the type of production that you have, which is basically, you know, stationary webcam. Yeah. I mean, I love the one video where it's just you just cut to you just rolling down a hill, like rolling down a beach. You're in a bathing suit.
Yeah.
You're just like,
it was how to make your vacation sexy. And because everyone has been saying since the dawn of time, if you're a female on the internet, show me a tit.
Show me a tit.
Like,
wait a minute. I never get that.
Oh, you show them anyway.
What?
No, I'm just kidding.
What tits?
So I was like, fine, I'll make this as unsexy and awkward as possible if this is what they want. And that was me on vacation too. I was like, I'm on vacation, but I'm going to make a video. How can I incorporate me being on vacation
make a video? And that's what's hard about trying to, you know, about where anything is fair game for you to make content is trying to relax. I've fought so hard to not be like, I got to make something. I'm out of town. Like,
oh, just relax. I mean, even hanging out with like your YouTube friends, it's like, we're having a great time right now, guys.
All the hands go up and the cameras
all
go
the
up.
All the hands go up with
they
our
can't
little...
see you raising that camera.
You're right. I'm sorry. I don't understand radio.
But you guys, I mean, podcast. Harley, I'm sure when you're on the road, it's a lot of like, oh, we could make a video out of that tree or whatever. But you still have a bit of production that you have to put together to make yours.
Yeah, like what we need is essentially like, do we have an oven at our disposal? We've made a full episode with a microwave and a George Foreman grill. So we will do.
I love the George Foreman grill.
It's great. I love that all the sons are George.
Yep.
Are they? Like George 1, 2, 3,
there's
and 4?
There's like five of them.
Yeah, they're all named George.
Yeah, George awesome Jr.
And then he made a grill. Grill's named George. Can't stop him.
Name is George?
No, he made a grill, and the grill's name is George.
They gave birth to a grill. A beautiful a baby grill. Nice! And yours, actually, you sort of have some of the same constraints, but your show is you.
Yeah.
So you could theoretically do it anywhere.
Oh, yeah. No, and I could and will.
But that's the thing. I don't know how to cook.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, Hannah has a good ethic of, like, not wanting to make every episode the same, so she actively seeks out different kitchens that she can shoot in, so it just looks different.
Yeah, because I feel like, you know, I mean, it's frankly, I love my drunk kitchen, but it is one joke, you know, and the joke is, that girl's sober in the beginning, oh, she's drunk at the end!
Right.
You know? But yeah, so I try and, you know, have, either do it, like, in interesting places. I did one at Burning Man a couple years ago. Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, that was wild. But yeah, I try and mix it up.
Well, it's the you know, just from having been running our YouTube channel for a year, I've learned so much about. I mean, I thought I understood
disappointment.
Well, not disappointment. Well, the
anger, how far it can reach.
I've learned.
I know that some people just smash the all caps button on their keyboard and then they break it off so that it can never be undone.
It's scary because when they love something that you've done and then they hate it. Like later on, if they love something that you've done, they're like, ooh, I want that same thing again. And you do it again. And sometimes they're like, again. Why are you doing the same thing over and over again? I'll do something different. I hate change. And you're like, I don't understand.
It can be a little bit like, you know, the audience can take on this uniform organism.
Yeah.
Which can be like sometimes like dating a psychopathic significant other. Yeah, where you're like, but the most
is
part.
Is this one of those times where you're angry?
Well, you should just have an episode called Walking on Eggshells, and you're just walking on eggshells. Oh, writes it down. But the one thing that I've learned and something that, and you tell me if you think this is right or wrong, is that I've been on this big kick lately where I think people look at YouTube and I think so many companies fail with YouTube because they go, it's a visual medium, so it's like television.
Mm-hmm.
And what I came to realize after a few months of working on it is, no, it's not like television at all. Mm-mm. Television just has to be watchable. Television has to be designed so that you don't turn it off.
Right.
And YouTube content or digital content, however you want to look at it, has to be shareable, which is an entirely different philosophy.
Totally different. Mm-hmm. Television is incredibly passive.
Yes.
You're like, I'll watch this because I'm watching things.
Yes.
But you have the whole of the internet at your fingertips when you're choosing to watch YouTube videos. You could be like, I'm going to play a game, or I'm going to talk to my friends, or I'm going to go on Twitter, or I'm going to sit and spend 3 minutes, 4 minutes watching one thing.
Right.
That's what it is. It's an active choice.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's also a lot different between it's sort of the difference between television and YouTube for me as a comedian is the difference between performing in New York and performing in Los Angeles. In New York, tons of foot traffic.
Yeah.
People could stumble into your show. They might already be there when you start doing the show.
Yep.
But in LA, which is very spread out and a car centric community, people have to go to your show on purpose
and
park and get
and
out.
And they're like,
exactly. Now impress me. But the other difference too between TV and internet is that no show on NBC is promoting a show on ABC.
Right.
And collaboration is the core of the internet, especially YouTube.
Yeah.
And that's how YouTube got started. It was like founded on collaborations.
Yes.
That everyone is a community supporting each other, where we throw to each other's videos. We're on each other's podcasts. We're in each other's videos.
Right.
We share each other's things. Tina Fey isn't talking about the new Mindy project on Fox.
Right.
And that's what makes it totally different. That's why a lot of these like old media companies coming in to use the internet have to understand that you're not an island unto yourself. We are Pangea.
Yep.
And, reference. Kick out the Pangea reference.
In fourth grade, we made a Pangea cake, and you know, that's how I learned cake. The cake vodka. Yeah. That's my only lessons I've learned have been surrounded in cake in some way.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep.
I just gave a talk in New York to a bunch of, it was really kind of a cool thing for me to do, was go talk to a bunch of television executives, essentially.
That
about,
sounds fun.
Well, it was because for the longest time, I've been complaining internally, like, God, this is what I think television is doing wrong. And I actually got to go before them and politely say, this is what I think television is doing wrong. And this is why I think it's probably a little bit easier if you can sort of figure out how to make compelling YouTube content. There's probably an easier transition to making compelling television content, but the reverse is difficult.
Right. Yes.
Because you can't just put up talking head shows on YouTube and go, well, I don't know why they're not watching it like they watch on TV.
Yeah. And I think that what it is that television is designed to put up a facade between, like, there's like, you know, actors. It's like putting up something between the creator and the audience. Whereas on YouTube, it's like these people like follow us on Twitter, they follow us on Instagram. And for the most part, like I just am 100% myself, you know? And that's like what they get attached to is essentially us. And that's why it's easier to be authentic. A lot of times I find I'm making a video and I'm actually being more honest in the video than I am when, you know, acting in real life, just because that's what they expect.
Well, but not only that, but when you make as many videos as you guys make, or like, for instance, again, you know, I always go back to stand up. But you can only sort of do a bit or talk about other things for so long, and then you run out, and then you're just like, well, all that's left is just me.
Right.
And so you really are sort of with the volume, and I think that's why it's important for people to make as many videos or do as many stand-up sets as possible, because ultimately you'll run out of other stuff to talk about and you have nothing left but to be you.
Yeah.
And then you go inward.
Intimacy is a huge thing on the internet, and I've said this in a lot of interviews and a lot of talks that it is another thing that separates it from TV. There's an intimate thing when you see us as us. And even a lot of people that do sketch on YouTube, they have Facebook profiles and Twitter handles that they're constantly interacting with their audience. It's a two-way conversation rather than one way with TV. And that's why I think television shows like Louis that are very intimate and like really about his life and exaggerated situations that may have happened to him succeed, because you kind of feel like you know that person on a deeper level. But ultimately, the internet creates this dialogue between people that know this one person and one person that doesn't know any of these people.
Sure.
And that's, for teenagers, that's all they want.
Well, Louis is a great example. And I've used Louis as an example of that show is basically a vlog with a budget.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's me. I agree, because he writes it. Mm-hmm. You know, he's editing it.
Yeah.
From what I heard.
Yeah.
That just seems like a very YouTube approach.
And it's all it's basically just like the stuff that week that he needed to express.
Yeah, exactly.
And it doesn't always the show doesn't always have to end with a punchline. It's just like, this is what it is, you know?
Yeah.
That show is fucking phenomenal.
Yeah. It's a little video journal and there's funny moments, but it's
poignant.
You feel like it's honest. So and that's what people, I think, resonate with online. It's honesty. So like someone like Hannah or Harley, when you're sitting here talking about how you have food poisoning, like you're just talking about it.
It hurts.
I'm so sorry, Harley.
How hurt do I look right now? I
feel you like look you look a little green, man. You look a little pale from the...
I just really don't want to barf on Chris's micro.
I appreciate that. Well, if it makes you feel any better, this is not any of my equipment. I borrow this equipment from the E channel, so I don't...
Go ahead and barf on all
cool.
Doesn't, I, well, cool I think it would be actually cool. Not not just cool, like, okay, like vlog cool.
It. Yeah, vlog okay, I'll take a picture of it.
But then you'll have a sound effect of barfing that you can use on every show forever. Moving forward.
That's
oh,
true.
Yeah, that's true. And it's just always going to be them yakking.
Yeah, and
here,
so...
I'm going to show you how grim you look. There you go.
You just take a picture?
Yeah, I just took a picture microphone. Of him. Yeah. Look at that.
Oh my God, I look like shit. Instagram it, please.
I'll Instagram it as soon as we're done. I'm trying to be present in the moment, guys.
You know, one of the things that I said to the TV folks is like, you know, you take a show like Louis, and what a classic traditional media breakdown of that show would be is... I see. So what Americans want to see
right.
are 44-year-old males.
Gingers.
Balding with like, with yeah, gingers with a red goatee.
Right.
So we have to go find another red goatee guy. And you're like, no.
You've missed the point.
You're trying to make a spreadsheet out mm-hmm. of something that's artistic. You just need to find someone with a strong point of view
mm-hmm.
that communicates that well and yeah. let them do their thing.
Yeah.
And that next guy could be 22
yeah.
and have spiky hair. Like, it doesn't matter. They delve so much into the accidental qualities of something
yep.
mm-hmm. rather than the essential qualities of the thing.
Well, I've even witnessed it firsthand being like a somewhat mostly a bacon show on YouTube. I've seen other companies with tons of budget backing make like a show about bacon.
Really amp their like, bacon game.
It looks like it was totally like a bunch of dudes like, hey, you should wrap things in bacon and be a dickhead, and
yeah.
this show is going to be successful.
Right.
Do it. And like it's like just like an attempt at doing like what we do, and it just doesn't, it's not the same. It's not.
Because it's missing.
Contrived.
Right.
Exactly. It's contrived. And it's like, you know, like when Howard Stern got popular, a bunch of DJs tried to have prostitutes come on to their show, and it was just like, oh, there's a disconnect.
That's not what we're here for.
Wait, you're not freaking good.
Because I am chafing in this leather bikini.
Oh, wow.
Great.
All right, guys, queef off.
Again.
I'll go first.
I'll go second.
They call me Queef of Arabia.
Lord, Queef of Arabia.
But I think
Queef Latifa.
The less, yes, Queen Laquifa.
Queen Laquifa.
Queef Laquifa.
Queef Laquifa.
Queef.
That's the name of your heart joke.
I think the lesson is to let people be authentically what they're about, and you cannot. You know, big companies get so frustrated with the internet and because content rules
right.
and authenticity yeah. rules,
right.
you cannot just
How
throw
do we
money at it.
Authenticity?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what
yeah,
they're doing.
Yeah.
And they think they can throw millions of dollars at it. Like, yeah. it's not going to work that way.
Nope.
You have to, you know, much to the disappointment of several people, I'm like, if you want to make a, you know, if you want to build something online, it has to be somewhat selfless, and you have mm-hmm. to build a community, and you can't just try to take from it. You have to give back and foster it, and nurture it, and
definitely
share things that aren't about you making money, and mm-hmm. try to, you know,
right.
And then that's, and it takes a little bit of time.
Yeah. It's always so funny to be in these, I don't know. And Harley, I don't know for you, like if you've been through a lot of casting stuff, like as a host or, you know, like that sort of thing, but you go into these meetings and they always ask you for advice, like, oh, really trying to build up like the show's Twitter handle and this sort of thing. Like, what sort of things do you tweet about? And I'm just saying this meeting, I'm like, earlier I tweeted a banana parfait I had made. After that, I was like, I'm really gassy. Like, great. People love to tweet about gas. Got it. You know,
right.
exactly what you said.
Yeah. And so because a show doesn't necessarily have an identity
right.
or a personality per
it's
se.
It's not actually alive.
Yeah. It's not
yeah.
alive.
Yeah.
Most people aren't going to want to subscribe to your Twitter feed that just says watch this show at 8 p.m. on Friday night.
Yep.
They don't really give
yeah. Which does Epic Mealtime have, how many... Does that have more followers than you as Harley?
Yeah, Epic Mealtime has more followers than
because you're like a show, yeah.
Yeah, but it's what Epic Mealtime does is it's kind of like our show collectively has a voice, which is essentially
mm-hmm.
my voice on the show, and it just doesn't tweet about, you know, video games and stuff, which I personally tweet about.
Right.
So Epic Mealtime is kind of like the character's voice of the show.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I tweet at Wendy. He's like, what's up, bitch? You rapping that ass in bacon? Drop that ass in the flow.
He tweets this at 3 a.m.
I always tweet Wendy's and then you cut Taco over. Bell. These are some great corporate accounts, by the way.
Taco Bell. I hear awesome. Cinnabon is killing it.
Cinnabon sent a wink.
Cinnabon tweeted a wink to Tyler Oakley.
Just a winky face. Like, the greatest. Cinnabon.
Like, if Cinnabon sent me a tweet, I would be so elated and I would share it with everyone. Yeah. It's just,
would you want it to be the winky face? I would want my favorite.
Cinnabon, get at us on Twitter.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
also, my favorite little life. Emoticon is the winky face with the D because it's like some drunk person that's just,
I like the smiley face that's wearing sunglasses. And I like it on GChat because the sunglasses go on.
I think
eat shit.
I think emoji has really ruined.
I hate it.
Conversation like,
you know, like,
so much.
Emoticons, you know, you can have fun. Like, you can sort of. You can build weird stuff. Yeah. It's like,
this is why hieroglyphics stopped after the Egyptians.
Yes, those were Egyptian emoticons.
Yeah. I find sexting is actually way easier now thanks to emojis.
Yeah,
I said like red lips and a zucchini. And like, she knows what I'm talking about.
They have
like, that's
everything.
Easy now.
Yep.
They
it was so good. It's just like the little psh.
Well, I like to do the pointy finger emoji and then the okay.
Oh,
yeah.
I kill that.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. I told someone that they sent me a picture of something that was funny and I said, oh, my brain farted then melted because that's how funny I am. And then they literally sent me back the emoji version of that, a brain and then a poof and then like something melting. And then I just didn't write back anything. I was like, phone goes off. I go to sleep.
Airplane phone box. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know what to say back. Dog, dog, dog.
But it really seemed like, when I imagine like people who got onto YouTube in like 06.
Like I Justine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then just kept it going like the whole time. Because the the homepage used to be a little more curated in the sense that I think, you know, rather than I think it's a little more algorithm based.
Yeah.
I'm actually not sure
it
how
used
it works.
To be totally curated. It used to be like featured videos, and that's how you became really popular is by getting your video featured on the homepage.
Right. That's how My Drunk Kitchen got started.
Yeah, and there was a lot of like networking with the people at YouTube, you know, in order to get your stuff featured. And then a lot of the reason I think, and I know there's more to this, a lot of vloggers, the style that they do is they end their video asking a question. Here's the question of the day, or here's my question, you leave in the comments. Because the amount of comments that you had on your video used to push your video to the top of like the most commented on list.
I used to say something just really, no, this didn't happen, really risque at the end of it. Be like, black people.
Without making any sort of a, just to see how people
would. I couldn't finish saying things. I felt so bad all of a sudden.
Well, people are very normal.
These are the type of comments I'm looking for.
And so like Harley used to say when you came on the podcast before, you were like, hey, listen, even if you get a bunch of negative comments, those are comments.
Yeah,
and
give it to me.
And they're driving it. People have it down to a science.
Yeah.
I think the Fine Brothers are amazing.
Oh,
like,
oh my God. They work their butts off. They have no butts left. Flat-butted dudes.
They had butt implants, and then they worked those off.
Deflated butt implants.
If they stop working, they will die.
But I think the new, you know, I think YouTube is kind of going back to that a little bit. Like, there's a new interface.
You know what? I don't like to try and predict what YouTube is going to do, because Google and YouTube are different from content creators.
Right.
I mean, they have their stuff they're trying. I mean, they're running their company, and then we've all built our companies in their backyards.
Yeah, they're companies.
Yeah.
So. I love that Google's just there, like, watching it all happen.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, won't comment on the fact that they're slowly taking over television.
Yeah.
They're, like, not saying anything. It's just happening.
Yeah.
Well, it is.
Unraveling. And they're just like, no, what?
Google's like,
making internet
Google's
videos,
like, did
man.
You
keep
see
doing it. Keep
G-Maps?
Doing it.
Just made it for the iPhone. Google Maps. Look at that.
Hey,
don't look at YouTube.
No, but I like the new interface, and I think it's a little more customizable. And because that's what people expect now, is to build their little digital presences and just surround, like, here's who I am.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like,
castles.
Yeah, like little castles. Sky. Or like little Skeksis who just like keep piling stuff onto their backs and like, this is who I am. Yeah.
This is my identity.
Yes, this is my identity.
Yeah, like when MySpace was huge and you tried to make your profile look as cool as possible because that's who you were to everyone.
Your top eight, Grace? Who's your top eight?
Oh my God, Tom.
All Tom.
See, now I'm mad because I have a bit in my special, which I record, my comedy special I recorded last February about MySpace.
It's back.
And then they just relaunched it.
It's back.
And I just went on and I just reactivated my account to take a look at it. And it's nice looking, but I don't know if I'm going to spend much time there.
I built my first website on AngelFire.
It was
the Sailor Moon.
A ton of flying toasters going across the top.
That would just.
And when you moved your mouse, there were sparkles that came along with it.
Yep. And it was like, this font is blue. And that was like the highlight of my day.
Yeah.
My website was like Harley's Wrestling Information site.
Oh my God.
And there was like one post. It was like The Undertaker won Monday Night Raw yesterday. Stay tuned. And then I never posted again.
That was it?
I sucked, okay?
Well, wait.
I was learning.
You put a site counter at the bottom, right?
Yeah.
I had a guest book. Make sure to sign in the guest book.
Yep.
And I like totally went in like what as were Richard these little and weddings? Thomas and like, hey, cool site, man. Love the info.
Were you part of a web ring? Were you part of a web ring of some sort?
Yeah. I was a I was a Deep Space Nine fan, a Sailor Moon fan, and I was part of all these web rings. And it was great. And I had a lovely community.
I used to go on girl.com, GURL.com, and talk to girls and just talk about
those
things
were not
and stuff.
Girls, Grace.
Those weren't girls.
Yeah, I know. Just let me have it.
Just let me have this.
So when what year did My Drunk Kitchen start?
March 2011. That's when I made My Drunk Kitchen. Started as a joke for never forget. It was a joke for a friend. I was a happily employed translator working for a company in New York.
What?
Japanese and English.
What?
Yeah, brother. Brother, do you not know the hard
stuff? She knows.
She knows.
She can speak Japanese.
Oh my God.
She can read it also.
Oh. You read kanji and shit?
Yeah, but it's gone. I haven't used it in 2 years since My Drunk Kitchen basically started, and I just started
wiping
out.
How do you say
My
Drunk Kitchen in Japanese?
Watashi no yoparateiru kitchen.
God damn it.
That was good. My nipples got hard.
A little bit. Yeah. Me too.
Anybody else get a semi from Japan?
Have you ever done an episode in Japanese?
No, because it's kind of one of those things that's like so sacred to me in the weird way. I'm nervous about doing it.
That's really interesting.
Well, I really want to do like an entire like sushi sake like extravaganza. I want to speak Japanese the whole time. I want the subtitles to like go awry, but I want to do it like a J-pop, like when you're watching a Japanese game show, I'll be like, gohan wa doko? And it'll be like, and I'm just not that good an editor. I mean, I use iMovie and it's terrible.
I feel like you could jump on Twitter so fast and be like, please.
Somebody help me make my Japan episode.
You're gonna get an influx.
I can help you make your Japan episode.
That would be great.
I help you make your Japan episode.
I love it. Now I'm like, it's coming together.
It's the poop, Harley.
Oh my God. It's the food poisoning.
Yeah. It's on me.
The raw steak is wreaking havoc.
I smell so bad.
Right now, you're just like an hourglass and everything up here is vomit and everything below is just liquid.
Excess. Oh my God. But that's how My Drunk Kitchen got started. I was living in New York. I had just moved from San Francisco to New York.
Sayonara.
Yeah, sayonara, San Francisco. And I made it as a joke for a friend. I mean, like, this is my personality. This is how I am. And so my sister had gotten me a MacBook for Christmas. And I was like talking to somebody on GChat, like VidChat. And I was like, and she was like, I miss you, dude. I wish you would get drunk and cook, man. And I was like, I'll make a video for you right now. And that first frame is just my little stupid self.
Imagine you uploaded it to Vimeo instead.
None of it. I would be living in Singapore, heading up like the East Asian office branch.
Probably enjoying your life more though.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, I might have ended up
still dressed
longer.
Like a carrot though.
Yeah, still dressed like a carrot.
The carrot,
I would have had six if I was in Singapore.
Oh my God.
I remember the first time I saw My Drunk Kitchen.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think it was like my brother. Someone was like, you got to see this. This girl, she's like getting drunk in the kitchen also, like us. And they like slid it over and I opened it up and I watched like 3 seconds. I was like, I'd do her. Closed it and turned it off.
Oh my God, with that haircut?
Yeah, sign of approval from Harley.
Yeah. Thanks, bro.
Thanks, bro.
I remember the first time I saw Epic Mealtime.
I'd do all of you.
including Chris.
Yes.
But me too?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
No, he would.
Oh.
He would.
No, you just, I want you in the corner with like, in the shadows.
Doing
with like
commentary?
A lit cigarette sitting on the chair watching like, you know, X-Files guy.
Yeah, cigarette smoking man.
Am I in a full suit?
Yeah. I can't really tell, but it looks like it. There might not be pants.
Yeah.
Sure,
it's
really
a onesie
dark.
That looks like a suit.
Stop
and
looking
I'm also
at me. That's a great
onesie.
Kickstarter. Let's do it.
Onesie suit.
Onesie yeah. suit. And the top part is a top hat.
I love it.
And it, they're footies. They have footies in them too, and they look like
patent
like
shoes.
Loafers. Yeah.
Yeah,
they look. They look like.
I would wear
them. The you know what? We'll try to figure out. Hey, I work for AMC, you guys. I'll see if we can do a Mad Men onesie. Like a Mad Men, like a Mad Men Kigurumi.
Oh my god.
A fucking Mad Men Kigurumi with like a jet with like a no, Don Draper head.
And then a Christina Hendricks onesie and yeah. the tits
oh,
on.
Shit.
No, they should start making custom onesies for your
no,
fan bases.
We should start making custom.
Indiegogo.
No, we're
no,
the
no,
day.
To no, the internet.
No, because I have a problem with people wearing my skin. So.
No.
I was thinking about how awesome that was going to be.
Grace, if I can buy your skin, this will keep me from tearing it off your bones.
Just give them like a template. I'm cool with like them just being carrots.
One of my favorite memories of Kigurumis and hangout with Grace is us laying, we're in New York in Grace's room and it's like 1 a.m. We're both on the onesie website looking at onesies.
Yeah.
And I totally subconsciously just whisper, I feel weird.
Yeah, like Hannah had a moment where she thought she was by herself in the room, and then she was like, pink hippopotamus, maybe. Like going through all
is
the
like,
onesies.
You know, he's not gonna lie,
yeah. And I was like, I'm right here.
I just had that exact same encounter about like 4 months back with my buddy Tyler, mm-hmm. and we ended up buying like 8 pairs of Zubaz.
What are those?
What?
I'm sorry.
You didn't play football in 1994? Zubaz, like they're like zebra style, like, you know, like,
oh,
yeah, fat, middle-aged, like, yeah, exactly.
Wait, what are the pants with the two naked girls sitting back to back?
Oh, those are Kappa pants.
Kappa pants.
No, very different from Zubaz. You know Zubaz?
Nah.
Oh,
you know Zubaz?
I don't.
Canadian.
Are they shorts or pants?
They're not. If you saw them, you'd be like, oh, those. They like look like zebra. They're like zigzaggy.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
They're like
baggy
pajama pants.
They were like early 90s
football
fashion.
Football coaches used to wear and stuff like that.
You know,
in the 90s.
I know the Space Channel and I know the Roots Beaver. And I know your hot dog carts.
Canadian things?
Yes. These are the Canadian things. I know.
They were done like,
Renee,
you know, they were like for fat like football coaches. Anyways, they look horrible on any human.
Did you put them on?
You bought so many of them?
I bought like 4 pairs.
Harley loves
horrible.
Clothes. Harley loves to shop.
It's Harley plays with clothes. With
Harley
Zubaz.
Plays. Harley,
with
you're
himself.
On that app about fashion, right?
Yeah. Oh, follow me on Pose. At Harley Plays.
Harley posts like the most posiest poses of all pose time.
Harley's like,
kill it. I love it.
Yeah, dude. I hella know these. Yeah.
The light
hella
and the
those.
Angles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Pose. It's like.
It's so a website, so you tell people about your clothes.
Yeah, you okay, it's like it. Instagram, but you like you say which
they're
clothes
like bodybuilder
wearing.
Pants or whatever, like big dudes.
Oh yeah,
you're like,
I should have said that. Yep. That's a good one.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they look like
early
'90s
bodybuilder in ripped
pants.
Tank top.
Yeah,
yeah, because their muscles are so huge, that no mm-hmm. regular pants can contain them.
Nothing can.
the amount of HGH that has gone into those muscles
circulating through these pants.
If you want to see it, there.
I thought you just like taking pictures of your elbows.
Yeah, in Pose, you take a picture of yourself, and then you're like, oh, these shoes, these pants.
Do you have stock in Pose?
It's like, what's up? No. The way I see it, though, is like, if I do this enough, maybe people will be like, hey, here's some t-shirts. Pose them.
I got this t-shirt, man.
I love free shirts.
Oh, my God.
Anything.
Can we just talk for a second about your Indiegogo campaign was one of the most brilliant.
Holy crap.
I mean, like, if I were ever and it's not just because it made a ton of money.
Do you want to wear my skin?
Yes. It's not just. It's not just that it made a lot of money, but, you know, so the day you basically set out to go on this tour where you're going to mm-hmm. go out and film Hannah on the road, basically.
Yeah, it's like a travel show. I mean, yeah. Anthony Bourdain's show just stopped. Why not do Hello?
Why not?
Yeah.
And you also have a sordid past with meth.
Not true.
Okay, we're in Japan. We need to buy meth. What do we say? What do we say?
Meth. Meth.
What, you know meth in Japanese?
No, I don't. Meth. Tabun. Tabun means maybe.
Meth.
Meth.
Meth
ga arimasu ka? Arimasen? That means, is there meth? Is there not meth?
Oh, so like from a philosophical standpoint, existential meth.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but your Indiegogo campaign.
That girl's an existential meth.
But you emailed and said, hey, I've started this, you know, I'm doing this campaign, you know, I want to raise $50,000 in 30 days, and you raised it in like 2 hours.
By the time, people read, like, I sent an email to you. I didn't think I sent you an email. I think it sent me. No, we talked about the night before.
No, you sent me because you had been having trouble getting it uploaded, and so
I had trouble getting it uploaded. Sorry,
never happened to me before. So, I think if someone is looking at a way to build a good crowdfunded campaign, it's just all of the perks. Totally, like the escalation of your perks and the dollar amounts attached to them were fucking awesome. Where it just. It just got more and more personal. I'm like, for $100, I'll make you cookies.
Yep. Yeah, no. And for $500, I have about 10 people who I'm straight up going to call, and we're going to talk on phone for like half an hour and just talk and just be like, blah, blah, blah. But that's the thing, though, is that like the community of people that follow Heart Dough are actually, I mean, like, for the most part, pretty awesome. And the ones that I've met have been really like kind of smart, fun, interesting people that I've enjoyed talking with. And almost all of the like the graphics are crowdsourced. Our little insert we're going to put in the beginning, somebody just made it for fun in England, sent it to me. And I was like, this is beautiful.
Yeah.
But it's funny, though, because I've had people, you know, kind of like tweet at me bitterly, like some Harto kid just raised $50,000 in 6 hours. Ugh, I can't even get my bike shop off the ground. It's only 3,000. And I'm like, look, dude, it's not like luck. It's like I've spent the last 2 years of my life building and being honest and being open and working for something like this. And in the end, I was like, you know what, guys, there's a project I want to do and I can't do it without you. Can you help me out?
I hate that bike guy.
What?
It's like, dude, like, I'm fucking adorable. Okay? You're not being adorable with this tweet right here.
You
try and be adorable
cut
like
your
me.
Hair asymmetrically and then see where it gets.
But the other thing that I've noticed just since doing the podcast and then doing the YouTube channel and just being, you know, being out there the same in a similar way is that you, just because of the way that it works and the community that you build, people, your audience is made up of people that you would probably hang out with because you're so much you, the people that find you are like, oh, I'd hang out with that guy. Yeah. And if they would hang out with you, you'd probably go, yeah, I would hang out with like the people that come to my shows. I mean, you know, I almost feel like in a weird sort of way, it's cheating. Like when I do stand up now and everyone in the show, everyone who comes to the show,
I love your sense of humor.
Well, they already know what they're getting into and we all love the same things. And it almost feels like, oh, I'm cheating because you already all like
but
all the same stuff.
It's not cheating. It's just in the same. It's the same way. It's just like if the universe was more localized, you know, and I think that that's great because it lets people who are not as fortunate as we are to be living in like thriving urban metropolises, you know, in the middle of Kansas. Who don't have anybody that they feel like relates to them in their city, in their town of 100 people, the internet allows them to find that person and be like, I like you so much.
I find Epic Mealtime's a little different from that, actually. We put our hats on.
We put
our Epic Mealtime hats on every time we film an episode. And we're like, all right, boys, like, let's fucking douche it up.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's get ready. Pass me the Jameson. We're going in.
Yeah, that's
this is going to be it.
You are much nicer in person.
People always think I'm going to be yelling in their face when I meet them. And
because
what really stands out is when I see kind of like, you know, like a bigger dude or a tougher dude and he's very shy about asking me for a picture.
Mm.
And I think I assume it's because he probably thinks I'm like, want a picture? Bro.
But I think that's a predisposition from television, because if you were a television show, you'd have to be in character at these events. But since we're in YouTube land, you are the producer, creator, editor, everything of your show. So you get to be yourself.
Well,
or like,
I actually think that's maybe not true. Because like if you meet Tina Fey, Tina Fey in person, you know she's not.
Yeah, but she's
Liz
not running
Lemon.
Epic Mealtime.
Right. But that's because Epic Mealtime is seemingly a TV show, but it's on the internet and the internet is so intimate and real. And like there's so many vloggers that people assume that you, like everyone else, are just being yourselves on there. Mm-hmm. And we're all ourselves, but I think we're all like an exaggerated version of ourselves online or just a heightened version of ourselves online. So I see where people would be like, intimidated. I was intimidated when I first met you because I was like, oh, Harley is the guy that
but I was trying to get all up in that though.
No, I know. I know. And I was like, Harley's the guy that's trying to get
Oh wait, now you're up at mealtime, Harley.
But I think it's interesting because I'm very, as I hit my microphone, very awkward on the internet. And so when people meet me, I have a lot of, you know, young tween girls that are fans that are themselves very awkward. So I try and be as non-awkward as possible when I'm meeting them so they feel more comfortable because they kind of like stand and look. You can tell they want to say something. We just want to make them feel comfortable. And I think it's ultimately Harley's a nice guy and he doesn't.
He is a very nice guy.
The real message of this entire show is that Harley is
nice and sick,
lovely, and he's a little wounded puppy bear.
Yeah. A puppy bear.
A puppy bear.
That's a good T-shirt.
I'm a puppy bear.
It's great.
I find you whatever you give out to your audience is what you get back.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I've noticed this. Like even I knew this before I ever had my own audience. Just going to a concert, you know, whatever they push out on stage is what the audience is going to give back.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, if it's a crazy, crazy music and they're smashing their guitars, there's going to be a mosh pit.
Right. Yeah.
It's going to get crazy. Like, Epic Mealtime, we get rowdy. We shout, we yell. So when I go out on the streets, I remember recently this guy, I was in Montreal where I live, and he was like, yo, what up, gay bacon bitch? What up, gay bacon bitch? And I'm like, gay bacon bitch? Like, this is mean. It's like, dude, you know, like, what's up? And he was like, what's up, man? You know, Wrap that shit in gay bacon, bitch. That's what's good, homie. Yeah, fuck you.
Was English his second language?
But like, that's like, it's like
gay
it was
bacon
best.
Bitch.
It was like his best impression of what Epic Mealtime is. When I left, I was like, that guy's a dickhead.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get tweeted like 20 minutes later, like, just met Harley. What an awesome guy. It was such a pleasure. And I'm looking. Follows me on Twitter.
He was trying to connect with you.
He was just trying to be like,
he's old school. Gay means happy.
Bitch means dog. He built a little.
I didn't realize this was early on. I didn't realize, but I did like one time. Some guy saw me. He was like, "Yo," and I was like, "Hey." He was like, "Food." I was like, "Yeah, man, food." He's like, "Food," and like gave me a high five. I was like, "Yeah, food."
Oh man,
so relatable.
You know, I never thought food before, but now food.
Man, I'm gonna eat that every day.
So, where do you guys think? It seems to me that the where everything is going is I don't think necessarily. Television or internet or one or the other, but just this ultimate merging of platforms, which has already happened. I mean, there were two cables running into people's houses. For a lot of people, it's just one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I feel like when there's some type of delivery device, there will be one singular like entertainment media consumption device in your home, which could be, you know, Xbox has made a lot of strides, you know, in terms of like, you know, delivering content, mm-hmm. or maybe it's this mythical Apple television set, mm-hmm. or like some type
even
of
the
OS.
Even the Wii is like easing into it by having that thing where you can like put your game on your like portable.
Wii U. Yeah. Netflix on the Wii U is my favorite Netflix experience.
Yeah.
Above all.
Mm. Really?
I watch Netflix. I'll kill Netflix. I love it. I think it's awesome. Mm-hmm. And watching it on the Wii U is just, it's just great. Just like the back and forth. No joke. Like you like turn off your TV and it's like on your
Yeah. See, but like that plays
forward.
Into this like singularity of entertainment that is, you know, probably on the way.
Because networks, I don't think television's necessarily in trouble too much. I mean, like, I think a lot of the lower end cable channels are getting picked off because you can just get that very similar content online for free and not have to subscribe to. But you know, I think people don't even know what channel numbers are anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You look at icons, you look at avatars, you look at brand. I think networks will ultimately it'll be like. Oh, I know Hannah. It's the Hannah, you know,
it's
like
the Hannah channel.
It's the whole like your app, or you know, is basically the content that people will find.
One thing that YouTube doesn't do that I love about TV that I hope stays, which I'm sure it will, because it's the one benefit TV has, is that 9 p.m. like that's the new Mad Men on whatever day, or like you know 8 p.m. that's when the new Dexter will come out on Sundays. Whatever shows they are, there's a time like there's a schedule,
right?
And you know YouTube, it's like. Yo, oh man, I ate bad steak. This is going to be uploaded 12 hours later.
Well, Netflix is experimenting. I think it's a David Fincher show that they're going to release the entire season at once.
Wait, isn't that Arrested Development? Whoa. Are they doing that with Arrested Development this summer?
I don't know if they're releasing it all at once.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe they were.
But just the idea, because a lot of people now, the idea of appointment television or appointment anything is...
Convenience is king now. I mean, VOD, like video on demand, I think is going to be huge because YouTube has proven that people have the control. They want to watch something whenever they can. You know, I upload a video. Not every one of my subscribers watches it the minute I upload.
Right.
Sure. They watch it whenever they get a chance to.
Yeah.
And I don't remember the last time I watched a television show on the time that television show was supposed to air.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people
Game
still
of Thrones.
Do.
Yeah, every time.
Every time.
Every time.
I'm
just
only
the
thinking
second
about
I
Game
can.
Of Thrones
okay.
When I say
so,
all
yeah. Hey. So I was that way with Homeland, but Game of Thrones is like, I've watched, I could wait on Homeland, but not Game of Thrones.
Are you guys worried about, are you worried about,
Jon Snow? Petrified.
Yeah. Jon Snow. What's going to happen with him? What's going to happen with Tyrion?
And Arya.
Yeah, what's going to happen with Lisa Vanderpump on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, right, guys?
I don't know if that's...
So, okay.
Well, that's like Game of Thrones for...
I was getting better and I'm sick again.
Yeah. Step,
what, are you worried at all about... because just the nature of things is to, you know, grow or die, I think. I
mean, creation, destruction. Let's talk about life, man.
So, but I mean, just in terms of like, as you grow, as you do more shows, like what, you know, are you worried about scaling up? Or are you worried about still being able to have, you know, like be, you are worried about
absolutely.
It.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, all three of us here right now, we have a huge responsibility, a duty, you know?
Serious conversation with 15-year-old humor.
He's a dude. We also have the brains of 11-year-old boys. Oh, yeah.
Responsibility. So, I mean, what I think of it all is, you know, I watch all these big Hollywood production companies spending $2 million to make something, to strive to be what, you know, we here do for very cheap. And it's trying to find that way to take it, what you have, and expand it bigger. I love watching Smosh.com. grow and watching Smosh Games grow, and it's like these guys took something that they were doing since 2006. Like these guys, I was going to bring it up earlier. They started when YouTube started. They did their videos first across 1 million views, and then they actually took time off YouTube because there was no money set up. You know what I mean? Which is really commendable to someone like iJustine who never stopped, even though there was no money in it. And like Smosh now, like back to being like number one on YouTube and expanding to Smosh Games. They have like a Spanish version of their show. Shut up cartoons, release albums. That's what you got to do.
Yeah.
If you don't do that, you're kind of, you know, not taking advantage of what is here, this opportunity that was presented to you.
Yeah.
So I always stress about, you know, how am I going to expand beyond Epic Mealtime, but at the same time not mess with my fan base that loves Epic Mealtime.
So that you don't have like, whoa, it's Epic Mealtime, the next class.
College year.
The real Epic Mealtime.
Yeah, but, the real Epic Mealtime.
But Harley
Epic Mealtime,
on
the college years.
The building, no matter what. Somehow Mr. Feeney is now our college professor.
Guys, Dustin Diamond is hosting Epic Mealtime now. It's so weird.
So crazy.
That's a great episode.
You should do that.
Yeah, I have the same stressors because I am... everything's growing and it's so fantastic to have built such a wonderful, loyal audience. But you think about it, I can't make a video for the rest of my life. I mean, I could, but that's just going to get stale. So how can I expand? Before I even started doing web videos, I was doing improv comedy and I was acting and I wanted to be on television. So now my thinking and my focus is how can I turn Daily Grace into something on television? And I know that seems counterintuitive because it's built on the internet, which is like the thriving medium. Not that TV's dying or going anywhere, but it feels like they're constantly becoming more entangled in this relationship that I now want to cross over and be part of both worlds, because I feel like it's just a better way to reach, not a better way, but another way to reach more of the audience.
Yes. Yes. You have to. And when people, you know, like with when you know, podcasting a couple years ago or YouTube, and people be like, well, it's hard to make any money from just a podcast or just a YouTube channel. And then I thought, well, yeah, because I think there's this three-dimensional model that you have to create, which for me is fun because I like doing that, where you go, all right, I'm going to make content that's complementary, but where the content is appropriate to whatever platform it's on.
Exactly.
So, you know, Daily Grace may not be in Daily Grace form for television, but you can create whatever the television incarnation of that is.
So that this seems like supplemental content.
It's supplemental. And everything, because as a consumer, as a person who likes stuff, I love getting lost in a little ecosystem of like, oh, I can
see. When you find a new thing to be like, and there's an entire world here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I love that.
And you have appropriate TV content and then maybe a podcast and then like a YouTube channel that has that specific, like that's really fun to go down that to go down that hole.
Yeah, it's an incredibly consuming entertainment experience.
It's great, but then it's just the stress comes from like, I want to do it right, and I don't want to misstep, and I want to make sure that it's the right choice. So that's where I'm at that crossroads.
That crossroads is like the crossroads of life, you know? And it's just like being that, I feel like what will make successful YouTubers or what's going to happen is you have to have like a certain like entrepreneurial gain. You have to have an understanding of like how to build a business, how to build a thing. And as like callous as like building a business sounds, it's really not about that. It's about how to create a foundation for something that'll be ultimately lasting.
Well, and that's what I hope people realize is that it's not like, you know, it's not like, we're all trying to, I just want to make a bunch of money. I don't fucking care how. But it's the idea of, you get very addicted to, career is the stuff that I love being involved with and making, and it's me.
My life.
And so I want to make sure I have that support structure as long as possible so I can keep making stuff.
Because so you don't have to go back to Canada.
So I don't have to go back to Canada.
To the proverbial and actual Canada. I think it is befitting of everyone here that the internet and all of these web videos were ultimately like a hobby that has become like a really important part of our lives. And it's so enjoyable as much as it is stressful because it's something we like doing. Yeah. And it's something we liked doing before there was any monetary gain at all, or any even idea of a monetary gain. But now that there is, it's like, okay.
Why would I ever go work for someone else again and doing stuff I hate?
Exactly, exactly.
If I didn't have to.
I took acting classes before Epic Meal Time. I went to auditions all the time. That's what I wanted to do. It's so weird. No one wants to cast like a 6'6", like 270-pound extra.
Just half of your face in the bottom third.
Just wait until the 500 sequel comes out. 600.
Oh, 600, yeah. I know, I'm way too fat for that. But
they spray painted their abs. That's what I
think you got to have a little bit of something to work with.
They can spray paint. You can just be
they might be able to shave my chest hair. Like,
have you seen Face Off?
They just put a decal on there.
All right, so I'll be a Spartan. Cool. Thank you.
We just believe in you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I remember I started Epic Meal Time. I started shows on YouTube. You know, when I did it, I was happy. I used to go to teach, and I was like, I love teaching. This is a great job. This is cool. This is good.
What did you teach?
High school, history and media.
Wow.
So I used to, like, sit down and be like, I like this job, you know, and I'm getting paid pretty decent, you know, and this is cool. And I would go to auditions on my free time, and I would try and write scripts on my free time. I have this awesome script, by the way, I wrote, like, 30 pages of way back in the day that I just found recently.
Oh, it's
a Contra movie.
Contra
the video game.
Contra!
Just as an exercise, but I was just wanting to do something in production just on my free time. I'd play video games. I would try and produce things. I would try and act, and I was a teacher, and that's all. And then when Epic Meal Time happened, I was like, this is so awesome. You know, like I went out and I figured out how to edit. I bought the camera strictly because I was like, I'm going to film me. Yeah. No one's going to not cast me. I'm going to cast myself. And I'm going to give myself lots of screen time. No one can tell me anything. And then what happens is, really quickly, you realize that it's a business. And that's something I didn't bank on, was that, you know, hiring people and, like, you know, having a team of brains and working together and relationship. Exactly. All stuff like that. I never saw that happening. All I wanted to do was just get in front of a camera and edit stuff and just do this for fun. And I think that's the best attitude going into it. I don't think anyone who's like, I'm going to get rich off YouTube, I'm going to get famous off YouTube, I don't think they're going to make it happen.
Yeah, and they'll fail because it's coming, their desire is coming from a different place.
Yes, because you're constantly chasing trends as opposed to just for anyone.
That person would show up with a ginger goatee in a hot
minute. In a heartbeat, yeah. And so what I always tell people is, like, you know, find that thing that you really are passionate about. And if there are two things that you're passionate about, mash them up together, because that's probably a unique point of view.
Because even then, if it fails, at least you're doing something that's making you happy.
Yes.
You know?
Or worst case scenario, it succeeds and you have to keep doing it and it doesn't
make
you happy.
Think about the guy that created, like, pudding wrestling. Those are two very different hobbies that he mashed into one.
He's watching wrestling, eating pudding, going, I just need to find that thing.
Oh my god, great. I know you brought your leather bikini, but we don't need pudding wrestling mentioned here today.
Okay, so
you've got pudding puss.
I had a list of topics I wanted to bring up.
Have you been wrestling naked in pudding?
Oh my god. How can we take pudding wrestling to the next level?
But
in the air.
Yeah, but I think it also helps to, you know, as it kind of grows, you know, it's, you know, because all the Nerdist stuff was just like, I'm being crushed by the entertainment business. Yeah. I just need an expression of stuff that I like so that I don't fucking lose my mind, because I'd worked so long not getting jobs on shows that I didn't even want to begin with and then still feeling bad about it.
Yeah, yeah, that sucks.
Go look at the pictures in his book, guys.
God damn it. But I think, you know, as you kind of, I think it's important to find people who can do the stuff that you, it's important to recognize what you're not good at.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not really good at accounting. I'm not really good at hiring people. Mm-hmm. And
delegate.
Be involved enough that you're still a part of it, but don't lose the part of you that still gets to make stuff and be creative by having to do all the managerial stuff. There are people who just want to do that.
God,
and those are the people that you
God
should
bless those people.
I know, like, because part of the YouTube or part of sort of digital culture mentality is I can do it all myself.
Exactly.
I got to do it all myself.
From independent people who want to do it all themselves. Yeah.
But that ultimately at a certain point as you're growing, that will crush you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because you cannot do it all yourself.
I had that time. I was like, how am I going to edit this and pack these t-shirts?
Right.
And then I was like, Mom, I need your help.
You need to delegate to your mom or to Harley's mom, who clearly was willing to do it.
I tried delegating to my mom. Her idea. Let's talk about names.
Holly.
Mary.
Jesus.
Judy.
Jessica?
No, Jessica.
Jessica.
Jessica?
Jessica.
Jessica. Jessica.
Jessica.
Your name's Jessica? It's pronounced Jessica.
It's pronounced Jessica.
Sorry.
Thanks.
My mom loved Christmas.
She's a bad bitch. She's dirty.
Yeah.
She's totally dirty.
Do you guys miss Jessica? Does anybody else miss her?
No,
that girl's a gay bacon bitch.
She's a gay bacon bitch with pudding puss.
That's a good episode.
Anybody else getting hungry?
Yeah,
not me.
So just sort of quickly down the line, what's the next kind of thing that you're working on next?
Okay, I'll go since I was pointed at. I've written a couple pilots with my friend Mamrie Hart, who also has a great web series called You Deserve a Drink that we are trying to pitch around now. Other than that, we're trying to work on some live comedy shows that we want to take on tour. Hannah Hart is also involved in that.
I'm packing the shirts.
She's packing the shirts. While she's on tour, she'll be packing the shirts for this other tour.
Totally cool.
And I am still doing Daily Grace and doing pilot season right now, which is oh so fun
rewarding
and makes my self-esteem go, yeah.
Here's 18 pages. You need to learn it by 10 a.m.
Yeah.
We're just going to read the first page. Worked for three hours.
We went with a giant black guy for your part. Thanks for coming.
Another direction. What about you, Harley?
So, top of my list, before Epic Mealtime even existed, I was doing a video game show that I wasn't in front of the camera. I was just producing. I deleted it. You can't find it.
I did think,
just watching, like, you know, Smosh games, their success. YouTube is a very game-centric arena. It's a no-brainer for me to just turn my hobby, which is video games, into something that, you know, play with audience members, play with fans. It's just such a very passive thing. It won't be a lot of work, essentially. It's just going to be turning. I took video production, which was my hobby, and turned it into my life. Yeah. So now my next hobby in line is video games. I would just like to also make that a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've made a whole bunch of characters on Epic Mealtime. Mm-hmm. So my next step are, you know, taking, you know,
action figures.
Exactly. Those like stuffed like wrestler style pillows.
Yeah, those guys are big.
So just taking like the brands that we've made and applying them to different arenas outside of the kitchen.
Yeah.
So maybe like, you know, like an offshoot action show with one character on Epic Mealtime, you know, like a Muscles Glasses spinoff type thing.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to branch out to a network?
Probably. I mean, it helps a lot. Are you talking about like an online network?
Yeah.
Yeah, right now I work with The Collective, and they're awesome. You know, I have a great relationship with them. You know, I usually bring things to them first anyways, and just feel them out and see, you know, if we come up with something. And then another idea that I want to do, and both of these are on track to be done before 2013, is taking the whole Epic Mealtime mentality, so stupid that it's smart, and applying it to things outside of food.
Sure.
You know.
Ladies?
What's that?
Like relationships?
No.
Lawyers, Epic Deal Time?
Therapist,
Epic Field Time?
Let's wrap that contract in bacon.
Epic Field Time, Epic Real Time, Epic Sex Time, Epic Deal Time, Epic Yeah. All of it. I have all those. Epic Wheel Time.
Oh,
Epic Wheel. I heard you like your wheels just, wrapped in bacon.
So oh my God. You, what about you supporting also, that skincare line Kiehl's Epic Keel Time?
Your daycare center Epic Squeal Time.
That's a good movie.
Yeah, that's a really great idea. And also, but that's you just wrapped Epic Chef too, which was another big project.
Yeah, Epic Chef season 2 as well. I did get fortunate enough to put a couple smart people in the right places on my business end so that I could focus more on creative and we can expand appropriately. But that's just it, expanding and adapting. You know, sometimes you do something like, oh, that was shit. Okay, we won't do it again. It's not a big deal. You know, let's move on.
That's what's so great about something failing on YouTube is that if it fails on YouTube, that means not a lot of people saw it.
Yep. It fails on YouTube. People are like, what? And you're like, nothing.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
I never read my poetry.
That's why I deleted my video game show that I was talking about.
It's gone forever. Yeah. So what about you? Are you going on tour?
Yeah. So the Hello Harto, what's next for me is making this Indiegogo that we got funded actually happen. So I'm going to be spending April going around America, shooting a bunch of stuff, doing the travel show, doing all that stuff. Come back probably and edit my face off between June and August, then do Europe because now we have to also go to Europe.
How much how much did you ultimately raise?
We're going till the end of the month because we're going to do a full 30 days because I thought it would take 50,000. It would take 30 days to make $50,000.
Yeah.
So we're whatever day today is, and we have $167,000 at the moment.
Holy shit!
God, you could buy so many houses in Detroit.
You could buy Detroit.
Yeah.
You could buy a RoboCop.
Oh my God! Sorry, everybody. I know I said I was going to do Hello Harto.
If you bought a RoboCop, they'd all be fine
they'd
with
be like,
that.
Nah, that's pretty cool.
Like, pretty sweet.
As long as I get my cake.
Yeah, as long as I get my cake. Yeah, so for me, I feel like the Harto empire is spinning a little bit faster than Hannah Hart can spin at this exact moment. So I'm kind of, instead of looking forward to the future right now, I'm really like, let me focus on making these things I've set out to do happen as well as I can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can get a little ahead of yourself because it's so much fun.
And that's what the entertainment industry tells you to do. Mm-hmm. It's like the second My Dark Kitchen came out, I was meeting with Bravo and E and all these people. And I was like, look, I literally have 3 successful videos on YouTube. Like, let me breathe. Like, let me figure this out.
Well, that was very smart of you to not try to exploit it right away and really go, oh, let's see where this goes and if I can keep it up. And,
I mean, maybe it's because I'm a middle child, but I've never had something that was just mine.
Yeah.
And it's like been pretty nice. At least I didn't want, you know, them to have it first.
What about you, Chris? What's up next for you?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I want to make low budge movies.
Yeah.
No way. Really?
I do. I really want to make low budge, like, sci-fi comedies and, you know, like,
cast all of them.
I'll
pack the shirts.
I think Galaxy Quest is a perfect movie. Yeah, I look at District 9 and I'm like, God, if District 9 had been a comedy, fucking, that's the movie that I ultimately would like to make. So, I want to do
that. I feel that way about Cloverfield too.
Cloverfield, sure.
Yeah.
Cloverfield made me, I couldn't watch it. I got motion sick.
Yeah.
Watching in the theater.
Oh, God, yeah. That's why I can't play first-person shooters, too. It's like...
Dishonored fucked me up a little bit. Chloe started playing Dishonored, and I was like, I want to play Dishonored. And then I was watching it for a few minutes, and it just... it moves so fast, I was like, oh, my God. So so that was...
Here's a quick pitch for you.
What?
Half female, half carrot.
What?
All lies.
Oh, so Hannah Hart.
Wait a minute.
I want to do that. I'd love to, produce some more television shows and expand, expand the YouTube. The YouTube content is so much fun to make.
Yeah.
Because we get to go to people and go, hey, what's the thing you've always wanted to do that the rest of entertainment would never let you do?
Right.
Here, make it.
And you're welcome.
Yeah. And I'm not going to give you notes unless you want them because it's your thing.
Yeah, it's so cool.
You know, so it's, I don't know. I love that. But I've really loved making the YouTube and then making the YouTube content and then stand up. I'm on the road now doing the new hour, building the new hour. So that's been fucking amazingly
great.
Fun.
Cool.
How do you say enjoy your burrito in Japanese?
Burrito.
I feel like Japan only has a few words.
You guys are using American words.
It's all about how you say it in Japan.
Well, like my friend,
you're using American words.
Like my roommate in college was studying Japanese, and so of course naturally we're like, how do you say fuck? How do you say shit? And then it started like getting more like
shimata. Shimata.
How do you say like omanko is pussy?
Yeah.
And chin chin is
momo is boobies. Chin chin is penis.
Momo.
And so, momo. I mean peaches. Momo.
Momo.
Move into the country. Gonna eat a lot of momo. Move into the country. Gonna eat me a lot of momo.
We're all singing
momo
that.
Momo comes in a can. She's never put there by a gaijin. They're put there by Japan. God damn it.
That's so perfect. Good.
Yes.
But we were trying to
and then it got really detailed, like, how do you say fur burger? And he was well, there's no real colloquial.
Fa-baga.
He said you could either say it that way, or he described in Japanese a hairy hamburger with legs.
Hamburger no
which is just the hamburger that we know from the
Japanese. The hamburger, you know, the hamburger has such a hairy pussy. The hamburger has like
he's
the hair.
He's American.
We've never seen him without a suit on.
He has the hair. The hamburger.
Hamburger's got a grimace going on in the Southern Hemisphere.
Shit.
They should whack. They should just take like a bun, a hamburger bun, and just wax the hamburgers.
And these are all episode ideas. For yeah.
We should start an advertising agency.
I want to go from the Ronald to the Grimace. Can you do that?
Oh, can you just do that for me real quick?
I got a bit of a fry guy down there. So did you figure out enjoy a burrito?
Yeah.
What was it?
It's burrito o yukuri tabemashite kudasai. I said please slowly eat your burrito.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh. Please slowly.
Yukuri. I'm going to stop there.
No. Seriously, we could do some hentai radio plays.
Yeah, we really can right now. If I meet somebody and they're like, oh, you speak Japanese?
I'll make thunder.
I know some words.
That's lightning. So.
That's not lightning. That's the sound of somebody like splooging in Japanese porn. Yeah. No, but if you meet somebody and they're like, I know some words of Japanese. I know dame, itai.
Domo.
Well, dame means stop it. Itai means it hurts.
Oh, Jesus.
And I'm like, you watch a lot of porn.
Yeah. I know Urutsuki Doji.
What's that?
Demon City. Oh, it was one of the early, like, Urutsuki anime Doji. Fucking, you know, demons fucking people and they explode. Like, a lot of that kind of.
What does Shinku Tatumaki Senpu Kyaku mean? It's a move I always did in Street Fighter, and it would, like, be written in huge letters when I was like, in grade 7.
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and say I don't know. Yeah.
I think that might be the equivalent of IKEA furniture in Japanese. Yeah.
In Sweden,
that was named after a guy.
What is it? Badonk. Oh, wait.
It's a
large butt.
It's a large booty. Donk.
I loved that. Thank you for getting together, you guys.
Yeah,
and you're
thanks
certainly
for having us.
Oh, my
thank
God.
You so much.
You'll be back. But this whole thing is fascinating. And again, I think a lot of the community building and, you know, if you are making YouTube stuff, you know, reach out, involve your friends, work with other people, collaborate.
It's a lateral class. It's rising.
Yes.
Colleagues. Yeah.
Content is king.
Yeah. Yeah. Grace and I call each other coworkers.
Because
we are.
All other YouTubers are colleagues, not competitors.
The internet is my office.
Exactly.
All right.
All right.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
Bye, Chris.
Enjoy your burrito in Japanese.
Yukuri.
Slowly eat your burrito. I got it out of a vending machine. With my underwear.
Yeah, they really do have dirty vending machines in Japan.
Oh.
Like, they sell underwear, they sell condoms, they sell everything.
Omanko.
Omanko.
I mean, it's just...
That's a vending machine, Omanko.
I can't use that.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of the Nerdist Podcast is brought to you by LegalZoom.com. Whatever your legal document needs, LLCs, wills, trusts, trademarks, and more, they've got it. Over 12 years and 2 million Americans have used LegalZoom. Start your business or protect your family today at LegalZoom.com using the offer code Nerdist.